It's a joy to be back here at First Light and in your new premises. And we certainly enjoy really long-term relationships and friendship with people that we work with very well, and Richard and Joanne, and 20-plus years. And as you said, we've had some great adventures and it's not over yet. And it's interesting because, as Richard was saying, he texted me. We'd already talked about next time I come, we'd come to the church and minister. And so when he heard I was coming, he said, come and minister, and we're doing a study in Acts. And for some reason, God just dropped something into my heart, and I started putting it together. And then a few weeks ago, he texted me again and just a few other things, and he said, oh, by the way, your text is Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. And I text back and said, well, that's what the Lord gave me, and I've already put a message together on that. So it's nice when the Holy Ghost puts something together, and I believe we're really going to, well, I trust you're going to get something out of this today. Being a teacher, of course, I've got more in my notes than time will allow, so we'll get through as much as we can. Because what I really want to do today, and all of anybody that ministers wants to do the same thing, want to encourage you in your faith and to help release you in the destiny that God has for you. Because everybody here today that's born again, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And part of my calling is to help the body of Christ to move into the next move of God. And as Pastor said, I get to travel all over the world. And matter of fact, last year I had 12 nations lined up that I was going to go and do ministry in, and never got to one of them. But that's okay. They'll all be there when things open up, and only God knows how to do it. And so, you know, I take very seriously the call and the assignment that God has given me to assist the body of Christ and to get ready for the next move of God. So as we look in the book of Acts, you know, I look at the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the book of beginnings for the church, just as much as the book of Genesis was the book of beginnings. And one thing that I looked at, just that the Lord showed me, the book of beginnings also tells us the end of the story. So the book of Genesis tells us the story of the beginning, but also in that same book, it tells us the end. And it tells us the seed of the woman will bruise Satan's head. So we already know in the book of beginnings what the end result will be. Well, now here we have the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, we see something really interesting. One of the things is that the final chapter of the book of Acts has not yet been written. And I want you to know today that you're going to help write the final chapters of the book of Acts and create destiny and history in what God is about to do. As a matter of fact, I believe that we are going to see such an incredible move of God in our generation. We're going to see more people coming to the kingdom of God. We're going to see more miracles and outstanding moves of God than any other generation of people. Can you say amen? Because we're talking about your destiny here today. And you know, when we get to heaven, let me tell you something. You'll find that the apostles and those up there that you wanted to go talk to, they'll want to come and talk to you, because they'll say, tell us what it was like to be in the last generation that brought in the greatest harvest of souls and saw such incredible miracles. And they'll want to know how you were able to see God move in such a powerful way. So as we get into this, we find out that the narrative of the book of Acts started off there with the Acts of the Apostles and the Acts of the Believer, all of this orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. So, well, you already know where we're going, Acts chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 1. And I believe the Lord gave us some things here that I believe will help us in how we are going to operate as the body of Christ in these days that we live in. Because what took place here in chapter 3 tells us the story of how the church began, but we're also going to see it tells us the story on how it's going to finish. So the beginning of something also tells us how it will end. So if the church started out with miracles, then it will also end with miracles. Amen? So let's just have a look at this, because we're going to find out that the same principles and the same application that created miracles here in chapter 3 is exactly the same principles that you and I operate in today to also have miracles. So let's just read from verse 1, Acts chapter 3. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John and Peter, said, 'Look at us.'" Now this is the story, as you know, of the crippled man, and Peter and John are going into the temple. And here's this man, and he's standing there begging. And the message translation, I've got to not been told, don't use your left hand with your wedding ring on it. Thank you. The message translation said he was looking for a handout. Now, we see something very interesting happening here, because when this man approached Peter and John, he did something very interesting. He opened a door. And I want you to see today that we need to look for God to open doors for us to minister to people. When this man cried out for alms, he opened a door. And what happens when somebody opens a door? You walk through it. Amen? And you know, one of the things that we're doing as we travel around the world and to many nations is we're teaching people how to walk through doors when God opens that door for them. In other words, you may be with somebody and they said, "Oh man, I've got a pain in my back." Well, you know, when they say that, they've just opened a door. And you need to be able to walk through that door and pray for them to receive their healing. Because if we're going to see an incredible move of God take place, which I believe that's where God's taking the church in the days ahead, it's going to have to be through the believers who are doing the work of the ministry. How many believers do we have here today? Wow, okay. Man, I'm telling you, the devil's in trouble. Amen? Because here it is. What we're going to do is that God's going to open doors for you to minister to people in your world. And so someone says, "Well, I've got a headache." Well, they've just opened a door. And then you can say to them, "Hey, wait a minute. You know, I can do something about that. You know, can I pray for that?" And so this is exactly what took place here. This man, when he started talking to them, he opened a door and they walk through that door. And something else took place. Oh, I love this. Because Peter and John said, "Look at us." Can you just imagine? They knew that they had something. And they had that audacity, that boldness. "Look at us." You know, you need to have that same boldness and audacity, because you've got the same thing that they have. What did they have? Well, they had the name of Jesus, and they had the Holy Spirit in them. They had the same Holy Spirit in them that Jesus had in his ministry. And that same Holy Spirit is in you. And so Peter and John had this boldness, "Look at us." And church, we need to have that boldness that we have something. That people who need prayer, need healing, who is going to minister that to them? You are. And you have something for them to look at, and you can have that same boldness, "Look at us." Now, over in John chapter 14, and verses 12 and 14, John chapter 14, starting at verse 12, because Jesus made this incredible statement. John chapter 14, mind you, it might be John chapter 12. I think it is John chapter 12. I'll just have a quick look here. No, maybe it's John chapter 14. No, John 14, 12. I've got my notes right. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, see, here Jesus said, those who believe in me. Well, folks, that's you. That's me. Those that believe in me, they shall do the same works that I do. Can you just imagine right now, God is about to move upon the church, which he has historically done before, to bring in a fresh move of God. And sometimes, you know, we don't see what's coming. Sometimes we don't even recognize it when it... Know that what we're about to experience is that God is about to raise up his church, the believers, the saints of God. We're going to go out in power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, and they're going to do the same works that Jesus did. Why? Because we believe in him. Amen. That's the qualification. Someone says, well, what qualification is there to do this work, to pray for the sick? I mean, I'm just a woman, I'm just a man, you know, I'm just young, I'm just old, I'm educated, I'm not. What are the qualifications? Only one qualification, and that is if you believe in Jesus, then you're going to do the same works. Well, what works did Jesus do? Well, blind eyes were open, the deaf could hear, the cripples could walk, the dead were raised, demons were cast out. Jesus said that those who believe in me will do the same works that I do and greater works. You know, if we just look at the concept here, that Jesus tells us the beginning and the end, and the beginning is those who believe in me will do the same works, but the end of the story is there will be greater works. And if we just continue the theme that what are the works, it's healing the sick, blind eyes open. The greater works, I believe, is what we will do in this generation, because instead of just a handful of people who are filled with the Holy Spirit and who have the name of Jesus going out and doing the work, we're going to have millions of people all over the world in our generation who are going to do a greater work than the early church did. Can you say amen? Amen? Church, we're living in a time where all of God's purposes are going to be fulfilled in our generation. You know, when we look around the world today and see some of the things that are happening, you know, we wonder, what is God about to do? Boy, what a world we're living in right now. I think for me, I can hardly contain myself. I get so excited. What are you going to do, Lord? And I know whatever it is, it's going to be bigger and more incredible than anything we could ever ask, think, pray, believe for. You're going to do it. And we're all going to be a part of what God's about to do. You know, over in... let me read the Message translation of that same verse. It said, "The person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things, because I, on my way to the Father, am giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. You can count on it. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I'm doing, I'll do it." That's how the Father will be seen for who he is in the Son. I mean it. Whatever you request in this way, I'll do it. Church, what an incredible statement Jesus is presenting to us as believers. That today, whatever you ask in his name, that he is going to do it. You know, I think there's a challenge here. What are we asking? What are we believing for? Maybe we need to press in. We need to believe for miracles. We need to believe for souls being saved. People in your world, you are the people that can touch them more than anyone else. And you know, there's a lot of needs in the world right now. And so expect God to open a door for you to reach out to those people. You know, back in Acts chapter 3 and in verse 6, Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now, you know, this is such a powerful statement that Peter is making right here. He says, I don't have silver and gold. I don't have much, but what I do have. Now, folks, we need to know you have something more precious than silver and gold. You have the name of Jesus. And that name of Jesus is so powerful, it'll change the lives of people that you minister to. And we see something else here. Here's this man, cripple, and Peter and John don't pray for him to be healed. Now, this is really interesting. They do not pray for him to be healed. What do? They command in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Now, where do you think they learnt to do that? Well, you know, they learnt to do that from Jesus. Now, did you know Jesus never prayed for anyone to be healed? You can't find it in your Bible where Jesus prayed a prayer for someone to be healed. He never did. What did he do? He commanded. He commanded. Remember Lazarus. Lazarus is one of my favorite stories. You know, you expect the big, powerful, anointed, strong prayer. This is big. Lazarus is dead for 4 days. He stinks. We need a big, powerful prayer. I mean, if it was us, we would send out an email and say, let's all join together and pray. Let's fast for a couple of days and let's hold hands. You know, so here it is. So we're looking at Jesus for the big, powerful, anointed prayer. We're watching there. And so here's Jesus. He stands before Lazarus' tomb and he says, Lazarus, come forth. What? Jesus? Is that it? Where's the big prayer? No, Jesus didn't pray. He commanded. You remember when they're out in the sea there and they're crossing the other side. Jesus said, go to the other side, and there's a storm come up, and Jesus is asleep in the boat, and the disciples wake him up. They've already taken the vote. We're going to drown. They just needed one more casting vote so they could go to the bottom and all die. And so they wake Jesus up and say, don't you care, Master? We're about to die. Now, here's an interesting thing. Jesus couldn't pray a prayer of agreement with this lot. They had already decided. They just needed one more vote to go down. But Jesus gets up and he doesn't pray. He just commands, wind be still. Remember when they lowered the guy down in the four guys down into the house where all the leaders were and the Pharisees and scribes? What does Jesus do? Take up your bread and walk. So I want you to see here that we get at the beginning of the church. The book of Acts tells us the story of the beginning, but also tells us the story of what will take place at the end of the church age. The church age and believers in the last days church is going to start walking in exactly the same way that the early church did. Are you with me here today? Are you still here? Okay, Pastor said we had to give you a 10-minute walk to make sure everyone was awake, so I'm just checking. You're all still awake? Are you all doing okay here? Because listen, what we get at the beginning tells us a story of what the end will be like. And so we're starting to see, you know, let me just tell some stories of some incredible miracles that we've seen. You know, I was in India a number of years ago and I was doing a crusade. And the pastor said, where we're going is a Hindu area, it's a stronghold. We're not sure whether there'll be a riot because they don't want us to come. You know, we get down there, and on the very first night, they were very concerned. But on the very first night, you know, because I believe in healing, and there was a lady that hadn't walked for 20 years, and she got up and walked. We did not have a riot. We had a revival. And then 3 days, about 1,000 Hindus gave their heart to the Lord. And the pastors were shocked. They said, we've never had a breakthrough here. Miracles always change things. Let me just tell you some other things to do. You know, we hold seminars in different countries where we train believers how to pray and have miracles. You know, one of the things I found out is believers want to have miracles. You all want to see miracles? Yes. Come on. Yes. Okay, that's all right. I just wasn't sure that my microphone was turned on. Believers want to have... Do you want to be a part of praying for someone to have miracles? Yes. Yeah. Well, see, we train people how to do that because most people don't know how to have a miracle. So let me just give you some examples. What we do in our training is that we give them a card to follow. So they just read the card and we pair them up and we say, now the person that you're going to pray this card over, ask them if they need healing. And then pray that or command that healing. Listen, over in Sri Lanka, we had a lady in one of the meetings. I don't do any of the praying. We paired them up. And she was blind in her right eye. A grenade had gone off during the war over there between the Tamil and the Sinhalese, and she was blind. And this lady prayed for her, and she got her sight back. We had another lady, a young lady, she's about 15, she was deaf in her left ear. And another young lady prayed the commanding prayer and she was healed in her left ear. Just awesome. In Fiji, where we did this training, there was a man down there that had his voice box removed. And after a man commanded for him to be healed, he got his voice box back. I mean, we've seen not only miracles, we've seen creative miracles. And this is training believers. Can you just imagine? This is the move of God that is coming. What we saw in the book of Acts tells us the story of what the end of the church will be like. The church will be looking for God to open doors so that you can step into it and have miracles and get people saved. Are you ready, church? Come on, I'm excited about this. Because I've had a glimpse of this as we travel around the world. Let me just give you a couple of other examples here. I was in India just... the year before last, and I was in a Baptist church. Now, I was brought up Baptist, and I got kicked out of the Baptist church because, you know, we started to believe in healing, and once you started believing healing in the Baptist church I was in, you get the left foot of fellowship. So I got the left foot of fellowship. So I'm in this Baptist church. Now, I don't care what name is over the door, and often I don't even find out. I go to a lot of different churches. So we did the training there. We paired them up, and at the end, because we always get testimony. Listen, every single time we do this, we always have miracles. Always, always, always incredible miracles. So here in this Baptist church, so afterwards, we got some testimonies, and one of the guys stood up and said, well, we're Baptist, and we don't believe in miracles, but we do now, because we've seen them. Folks, God is getting ready to change his church. It's his church. He's about to change it in such a radical way that we will look back and think, my, we can hardly recognize from where we have come to where we are now. You're getting ready, church, because God's about to do an incredible thing. Pakistan. I've been to Pakistan a number of times and we've done some training, had some incredible miracles. And we've trained the believers there how to reach out to people in their world. And you know, last time I was there in a church where I've been a number of times, I said to the pastor, man, you're growing, what's going on? And he said, you're teaching. The people are going out and getting people saved and discipling them and they're coming to church. I'm telling you, we're in for an exciting time. In Italy, I love this story. In Italy, where we did this training, there was a man who was probably 70, 80, and he came up and, I mean, he's so excited, and of course, he's speaking Italian, so I don't know what he's saying. I have to grab him. What's the problem? What happened? Tell us. He said, what happened? He said, everything. Well, we had to dig a little deeper to find out what everything was. Well, he'd, a couple of months before, he'd had a stroke, and he had all the symptoms of a stroke, but after he was prayed for, all those things left. Everything. Whew. Another church in Italy, a lady during the training on the second night, she said, oh, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm in such agony and pain in my legs. I can hardly move. Would you pray for me? Well, I try and avoid praying for people. I want to get somebody else to do the praying. And we were going to do the training the next night. I said, can you wait till tomorrow night? She was so disappointed. So the next night, went in the training. A 12-year-old boy was paired with her. And when we finished, I said to her, any change? And she said, not much. So I said to Victoria, my interpreter, I said, Vic, you go pray for her. And I love what Vic did. He had the card in his hand. I can still see this. And he just propped it on her shoulder. Just like that, and read it to her, and then just commanded what she... And when he said amen, she jumped up and down, she ran up the back of the room, jumping up and down, slapping the wall, yelling at the top of the voice, come running back down, jumping up and down, ran back up the room. We had to sort of control her in the end and say, tell us, what happened, what happened? And her story was she had 4 herniated discs that were ruptured in her back. And she said, oh, my knees, everything was sore. But, boy, they weren't sore after she got prayed for. Folks, can you imagine now, listen, when you're down the street and someone says, ah, man, I'm just so crook. I just got such a pain. And you said, oh, she just opened a door. I'm going to walk through that door. And I'm just going to command, back, be healed in Jesus' name. That's all Peter and John did. Now, listen. I don't mind reading history. I don't know about you. I want to make history. We just don't want to look at this as a wonderful story. Oh, what an exciting day. No, I want to rewrite history. Because the book of Acts isn't finished yet. Oh, I tell you, this is, where am I going to go now? Now, you might say, what about Australia? We're up in Darwin just a few months ago, and there's a lady up there who had a lump on her breast, and after a believer prayed for her, she got a sister up. She said, my sister will confirm that lump has gone down because she's felt it before. We had a man there who had a hernia, and that was healed. Oh, I'm telling you, folks, get ready. God's about getting his church ready to go out into the highways and the byways and look for open doors and go through those doors and have miracles and get people saved. The devil's going to go crazy. There'll be no way of stopping the church. Because what God started at the beginning, he's about to bring to an end. Now, listen, I'm just going to have to put some of these notes away. This one here. John, oh, Pastor, I've got 1 minute. Hey? 10 more minutes? Okay, I appreciate that. You all doing all right? Because I'm going to show you that what started at the beginning tells the story of the end. Come with me to John chapter 2. Ah. John chapter 2, starting at verse 1. John chapter 2, verse 1. Listen, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Now, here's an interesting thing. Now, I've read this story many, many times. And I've got to ask this question, who cares what day this wedding was on? I mean, who gives a rip? Now, women, you might be interested, what did the bride wear? But we don't care about what day it was on. But this is the very first miracle that Jesus did. Now, remember, the beginning of something tells you the end of the story. Now, listen, right now the church is in the third day. One day is 1,000 years. Anyway, do you know the story? So we're in the third day. I've got to keep moving here. So here it is. So here we are told that at the very first miracle of Jesus, something about the third day that we can understand now that we couldn't understand before. Now, let me read it to you quickly. It says, the mother of Jesus was there. Verse 2, now when both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, mother, woman, what does this concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever says to you, do it. And when there were set 6 water pots of stone together in the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece, Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim, and he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, every man at the beginning sets out, listen, the good wine. And when the guest had well drunk, then the inferior, you have kept the good wine until now. So we see here there's a parallel between what took place at the beginning. There was good wine at the beginning, but now, listen folks, at the end of the church age, the third day, we've seen that the good wine has been kept till now. And folks, this is the third day. And we are about to see the completion of what was started back here in the first miracle. The first miracle that took place in the book of Acts tells us the story that the final time of the church, greater works, the best is being kept till now. And folks, we're going to see what took place there with that in chapter 3 of Acts. It tells us a story of what the last church will be like. Now, let me just finish this off very quickly, because in Acts chapter 3 and verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes from him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. The name of Jesus, that name is still here. It's been given to the church. And believers all over the world, and I'm not the only one preaching this type of message, the saints of God are being empowered to do the work of the ministry. It's certainly the assignment that God has given me, and it's, as I said, it's opened more doors than I quite know what to do with, but it's just an awesome, awesome time. And now listen, the outcome of that one man walking and leaping and praising God, 5,000 men got saved. That's what it says. And then there would have been women and children. So there could be anything from 10 to 15,000 people got saved at this particular event that took place. Folks, God is about to not only do it again, but to do it even more exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Because right now, you know, there are billions of Christians all over the world. And when God starts to breathe on us, his church, for this next move, and we start operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, the world will have no answer. There'll be no way to stop the church of the Lord Jesus Christ from moving forward. Acts chapter 2 and verse 46 and 47, it says, and so they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Folks, I don't know about you, but last time I looked at the adding machine for the church today, it's broken. Come on, it's not working. Well, we need the oil of the Holy Ghost on our adding machine. See, back in the early church, so there should be an incredible expectation for the last day's church, that what took place at the beginning tells us a story of the end, and that we will do better at the end than that they did at the beginning, because there's far more of us. You're still here now. So we need to expect there's coming a day, it's at the door, when we're going to see people added to the church daily. But wait a minute. It goes on. And we're told in Acts 5:14, believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. Then Acts chapter 6, verse 7, then the word of God spread and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So we went from adding now to multiplication. So folks, what is God about to do in the last day's church? I believe that he is about to do a work that will be beyond anything you could ask or think or pray or imagine. And the key to this is that you, as a believer, are going to be the ones that will do the work, because you are already empowered by the Holy Spirit. You already have the name of Jesus. And you're going to recognize that God is going to open doors for you. Maybe you already know doors that were open and you didn't walk through them. But you expect God to open doors. Someone has a need, you're going to step in. And you might get that through that door and your knees are knocking and you can't think of one scripture. Because Pastor, last time he prayed for someone, at least had three scriptures. And you can't think of one. But do what the disciples do. Do what Jesus did. Jesus never prayed. Nothing wrong with praying scripture. I haven't got time to go over this, please. Nothing wrong with praying scripture. But Jesus never prayed scripture for anyone to get healed. What I'm saying, this is for believers. Forget what you do in church. That's a different scenario, different grace and different place. But you're down the shopping center. You know, in church we say, well, let's get the musicians up and let's usher in the anointing. You're down the shopping center. You got someone, the door's open. You don't say, wait a minute, I just made a phone call. Mary will be here in a few minutes and she's going to sing a song to usher in the anointing before I pray for you. You know, and Bill, he's on the way. He's the usher. He'll catch you when you fall. No, this is a different scenario. In church, it's different than what you're going to do out there in the suburbs, your street, your home, the shopping center. Amen? And so here, Peter and John, they're out in the marketplace. They're on the way to church. So they didn't pray. They prayed when they got to church, but they didn't pray for this guy. They commanded, and they didn't have a catcher. Matter of fact, what they did is made sure he was already on the ground. They made sure he got up. And he danced and leaped and praised God, and 5,000 people got saved, men, and then there was women and children as well. So church, that's my message for you today. I just trust that's encouraging you. This is part of my assignment, is to say to the church, get ready, get ready. God's about to move in such a powerful way. We may feel like much isn't happening. We might even feel a little bit lethargic, maybe even a little bit of discouragement or whatever. Forget all that. You know, when God starts to move, you won't have time to feel discouraged. You won't have time to feel upset. You won't have time to be anxious. You won't even have time to worry about yourself because you're about praying for other people. And when you're praying for other people, God will meet your needs and answer your prayer and heal you and bless you. So church, I'm going to hand it back to Pastor now. Thank you so much.